Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Family physician Dr. Sherry Fanarov is on the line. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So we wanted to try and get some kind of a perspective. You've done a tremendous amount of work in this area. You're one of the sane voices with regard to COVID-19 here in South Africa, giving people advice, trying to bring some perspective. And one of the difficulties is that because it's a road less traveled or hardly traveled before, we don't really know how to behave, how to react when somebody receives a positive diagnosis. There's a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety as well as the physical side. And there's always this debate as to whether they should be staying home, being monitored at home, or going to a hospital. Both, of course, have advantages and disadvantages. Take us through this kind of a thought process when trying to ascertain what is the best decision to make for the person and for the family.
Okay, absolutely, Howard. So first of all, what people must understand is that the majority of patients are going to be absolutely fine at home. More than 85% of patients who get a positive diagnosis are going to have relatively mild disease, some a little bit. Our aim as GPs is to keep the patients at home as far as possible, unless they need to be admitted for a specific reason. If they're having breathing difficulties or requiring oxygen, in general, we are wanting to manage them at home.
So that is generally going to be our first preference.
Receive a positive diagnosis. Absolutely. You know, the hospitals don't have excessive space. They definitely don't have space for mild patients. Even more severe patients, there are only a certain number of ICU beds. There's a certain number of high care beds. And it's not always feasible to admit a patient to hospital.
Mm. So, right.
You know, you've heard last week, often the hospitals are on divert. So far, we have been able to find beds for all our patients, but it often does phoning around to three or four hospitals to find which one actually has a high care or an ICU bed for our patient.
Are most of the patients that are being admitted going into either high care or ICU, or does it follow the normal pattern where you'll have the majority of people in a general ward?
No, I think there are a majority of patients, and I'm not a hospital-based doctor, so I'm not the right person to comment, but certainly a lot of the patients are in a general ward needing perhaps oxygen or
right.
perhaps intravenous steroids or perhaps an antibiotic if they've got a secondary infection.
Right.
Those who are struggling would then be moved and elevated up to either high care or ICU.
What are the indications if you're monitoring a patient, presumably at home, some of your patients, what are the indications that you would look for where you would say, you know what, I am starting to get concerned, let's rather put you into a fully monitored environment?
Okay, that's a great question. We are looking at physical symptoms, and some of them we are asking the patients to monitor and report at home.
Mm-hmm.
Hatsola are doing a phenomenal job at
Absolutely.
Providing thermometers and pulse oximeters to patients. So we are monitoring heart rates. If your heart rate goes above 120, 125 and stays there and doesn't come down, that would be some cause for concern. If your respiratory rate is greater than 25 breaths per minute, that would be cause for concern.
Right,
a temperature that is above 39 right. degrees and stays there, and an oxygen saturation that drops below probably about 92%. So that would prompt a call either to a Hatsola person who's monitoring it or to your GP to say, you know, this is where I am. Where do I go from here?
Right.
And then also things like, you know, somebody who's very short of breath, can't talk in full sentences, not able to walk to the bathroom, can't get off the bed, unable to eat or drink because they're exhausted. So obviously you can hear these are very, you know, that this is a serious patient and it is not the majority of patients at home.
Right. And of course the other factors to consider is the other psychological aspects. When a person goes into hospital, it means that they are not able to have any visitors. They're not able to have any form of that normal comfort that is so important and helpful during recovery.
Correct. And, you know, at home, patients can have their families around, although we are suggesting if one person in the family is infected, we are asking that person to isolate in their bedroom and to wear a mask if they are in the same room as their family.
Sure.
So psychologically, it's really a tough, tough condition. People are feeling very lonely. There's a lot of anxiety in terms of, am I going to deteriorate? You know, what happens if I do need hospital? So you're right, the psychological aspect of this disease is massive.
Do you medicate for that? If somebody is very anxious during this time, is it a common thought, or is it important not to give somebody something to relax them at this point?
It is a common request in anxious patients. We need them to understand that they need to be very careful of tranquilizing type drugs. So, you know, benzodiazepines, like things like Valiums and Zanols, medications like that, which, you know, many people have in their cupboards and are tempted to take, can actually suppress your respiratory rate and may actually cause a problem. So my suggestion would be not to take anything without consulting with your doctor.
And in fact,
but certainly there are medications that are very useful for anxiety, and we can use those.
Right. What you're saying effectively with all of this is, if you receive a positive diagnosis, if someone receives a positive diagnosis, it is absolutely essential that they have somebody who knows about it and who is monitoring them. Would you agree
100%.
With that?
Mm. Absolutely. That is excellent advice for anybody. You know, they need to be in touch with Hatsola or with their doctor or with both. And they need to know what to do should they deteriorate. And they also need to receive the information as to how they can monitor themselves at home.
Right. I imagine this is quite a difficult area for GPs, because it's a brand new space. They're not really able to interact and physically see the patients at home because of the contagious factor, and yet they are being asked to get involved in something of which they've had little experience. You know, the hospital doctors are, whether they liked it or not, are now just seeing case after case after case. So they're being schooled on the ground, so to speak. But I would imagine it presents extra challenges for family practitioners.
So correct. It's been an enormous learning curve for GPs. One amazing thing that's come out of it in Gauteng is that I'm part of a collaboration called the Gauteng General Practitioners Collaboration. Mm. We're a group of, I think, 180 GPs now in Johannesburg. You interview some of them on your shows at other times. Mm. And we are talking every day and often in the day, sharing information, sharing tips, sharing, you know, what to do if this happens, asking each other for advice, because it's new for all of us. And we're trying our best to stay in terms of international trends. Hospital specialists have been amazingly supportive. They are giving us guidelines to use at home. And we need that, because in general, this is a home-managed illness.
Mm. Which is so interesting, because it isn't the go-to place in our brain. That this, as you keep saying, in 85% of the cases, people will manage really very well at home.
Correct. You asked also about, you know, how do we keep in contact with our patients?
Mm. Mm.
We are using a lot of telemedicine, you know, video consultations, checking in. You know, our phones are constantly full of WhatsApps and messages and calls. Mm. We are seeing patients in our room, though, also in our rooms. You know, we are trying our best to wear PPE. There are GPs in the community who've already been infected. I'm sure there are many more to come.
I'm sure.
Because we can't not see the patients. So we're trying to do so in the safest possible way, and where possible, we are treating them virtually.
Right. Absolutely incredible. I think that, and I have to say that, as I said, you've been one of the people at the forefront of dealing with this. You've been very outspoken, informative. You know, you're spending a lot of time on the education side. And when I look around, what I see certainly in Gauteng and what I see around our community fills me with tremendous, tremendous pride, because I think that we just are the medical fraternity and all of the support systems systems that function around them, I believe, are doing the most incredible work. I think that it will change everybody, both for good and I feel, in fact, as I said to somebody yesterday, they're going to need post-traumatic stress counseling afterwards. but it really is the most phenomenal side of our community and of Johannesburg that we're seeing in the treatment of COVID-19. So just you stay strong, you stay healthy, and keep up the amazing work that you are doing. That's family physician Dr. Sherry Fanarov speaking to us, giving us a GP perspective on managing patients at home versus putting them in hospital and the difficulties around that. Dr. Sherry Fanarov, thank you for taking the time.